20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
And here we are, Thursday, April 29th, 2021. Finally, it's Draftsmas, everybody. Merry Draftmas to everybody, to you and yours, and to all. Hopefully a good night tonight. The Green Bay Packers will be on the clock, 29th overall, allegedly, assuming they don't move up or down, which we'll see how that goes and where everything goes. But I'm here with my crew. It's Thursday morning, so you've listened to our voice the last 4 weeks, and we'll have at least one more after this, depending on what Andy decides to do. But we look forward to being with you guys and talking about the first round of the NFL draft, which starts tonight. Then obviously day two is tomorrow. Day three, rounds 4 through 7 on Saturday. Rob, what I want to start with is that one of the discussions that comes up is, you may not be old enough to remember this, quite honestly. I know. But when they had the draft all day on Saturday, do you miss the days of it being all day Saturday, all day Sunday, or do you like this format?
It's a great question, and I've been on record as saying that I like the old format better. And it started, 11 o'clock in the morning is when the first pick would be. And I just, maybe get a workout in and, kind of just get geared up and get plenty of alcohol and then just basically, sit back and pop my first one open at 11 a.m. And, by the time we get to pick 7, It gets a little bit crazy. So, I don't know. This was kind of cool, the way that they do it in prime time and they kind of make a big deal about it. I'd probably wish that they had 2 rounds maybe in the first night and then maybe the 3rd and 4th rounds the second, and then just, did 5 through 7 maybe on Saturday just to finish it off, because, there's so many people that get into this stuff, and, it almost seems like there's so much buildup. And then it stretches out for so long. And it's like, the first round's like 5 hours long. And you're just like, come on, let's get on with it. So I did like the old one better, but I've kind of gotten used to this.
I will say this from a content creator standpoint, this is awesome. I love it because you have all day long Friday to talk about who they – like last year, think about it. Last year, we're talking about Jordan Love from 10 o'clock at night until – when the next day started, and then, day two obviously was interesting as well. And then you get into day three. I love it. I think from a content creation standpoint, it's fantastic. I like the splitting up of everything. That way, I don't feel like the entire, and especially now that I'm older, entire weekend isn't torched by telling my wife I can't be around on Saturday or Sunday to do anything, 'cause I'm just watching the draft. So I appreciate that part. So Eli, I made the joke at the beginning, but are you old enough to remember when they had it on Saturday?
I am old enough to remember. I do remember. And I personally enjoy the new format. Like Rob said, I like the prime time, but I do agree with Rob that maybe doing the first 2 rounds, because number one, I feel like drafts each year, like just players are getting better. And like the second round, like it's a big deal still. And I feel like you can make a real big event going first, second round, obviously, but you would have to make just shorter between picks. Like Rob said, we love the draft and we like the experience, but it shouldn't necessarily be 1 round taking 4 to 6 hours, depending on what goes on. And you, what is it? 10 minutes between picks. It used to be 15. I think they brought it up to 10. I don't know. Maybe you drop that down to 8 or 7, just to maybe move it up. But I thought I heard this year that day two was going to be 2, 3, and 4, right? They're adding.
Is that true? I don't know. Day two is just 2 and 3.
Okay. Saturday so still 4 through 7. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I guess that was just a rumor, but yeah, look, I'm ready to go. I'm excited. I have good feelings about this draft, which is rare for me.
It's one of those nice matches between, you're looking at the positions that the Packers need, and you look at the strengths of the draft, and it's one of those rare drafts where it aligns outside of defensive tackle. Yeah. We obviously need defensive linemen on our team, and, maybe we can pick somebody up. But, outside of that, it just seems like the positions that we have needed. When I'm doing all these mocks and I'm kind of looking at different scenarios, it just seems that I can pick up, you know, 2, 3, 4, you know, really solid players that can contribute right away in all the mock drafts that I do along the line. You know, even in the first 4 or 5 rounds, you know, they're getting solid players that could potentially be starters. Whereas other years, you know, you're just building for depth in those kind of mid rounds.
Yeah, and this year will be very interesting from that standpoint, just because the Packers could go a variety of directions. You know, I think that the way this year's draft is set up, Rob, what that means is when they pick someone, I don't think I can be – well, I say that now, but I don't think I can be disappointed. You know, the only way – well, you know what? I don't want to spoil that. We'll get into that because we're going to talk about some other stuff here too. But let's start. So coming into this draft, you know, on the broad perspective of things, you know, we know the first 3 picks are going to be quarterbacks. Pick number 4 is probably going to be a quarterback, whether it's Atlanta or a team that trades to Atlanta for that. And we'll talk about some of that stuff as we get, you know, to the middle toward the end of this, just some, you know, other teams. But I know you guys are here to listen to us talk about the Packers. So I'm going to start very simple. Green Bay is on the clock. And it doesn't have to be at 29 necessarily, but your dream pick, the pick that I joked, what was the draft that makes you take your pants off for the rest of the weekend or something like that? Like, so that's my question, Eli. I guess I'm not going to word it that way, but you know, what's your dream pick for this first round pick?
My dream pick, number one, like you alluded to, I don't believe it'll be at 29. I believe they will trade up. A belief is the Colts at 21 could be a great option, but really anywhere in the early 20s. And they go and they actually get Aaron Rodgers, a first-round receiver, Rashad Bateman out of Minnesota. He is, to me, he just reminds me almost of Davante Adams. He wins at the line with his feet. He's a great route runner, great hands. His yards after catch ability is tremendous, and that's something the Packers offense needs right now. No one really great with the ball in their hands. Even Devontae, who's shifty and good, but not the greatest with the ball in his hands. So I think Bateman brings that. And I tweeted that out last night, and I kind of repeated it again today. But, you know, a few weeks ago on this show, I think I said, like, realistically, as much as I might want it, I can't imagine the Packers actually picking a receiver in the first round. My feelings have changed a bit, and I feel like it's kind of almost like a breaking point where it's like they're either going to pick a receiver in the first round, potentially, you know, and then commit to Rodgers, rework his deal, and kind of be like, we're going to make another longer run at this, not like this 1 year window we've been talking about. Or they go and they maybe hit a different position and the Rodgers situation kind of stays out of it. But my dream pick would be Rashad Bateman.
It's such a good point, you know, and you know, one of the things that I think we mentioned this a couple times is that you almost want to think, you know, into Brian Gutekunst's head and think, well, okay, does he regret maybe not being a little bit more aggressive last year and trading up ahead of Minnesota to grab Justin Jefferson? I know the team really liked him. And, you know, I think that maybe that threw him for a little bit of a curveball. And also Brandon Ayuk going at 25 to San Francisco last year, that was another pick that we had our eye on. And then even going beyond that, he admitted on, you know, personally that they tried to move up into round 2 to try to get some of those guys that were up there. And we don't know exactly who they were.
But, I had a pretty good idea.
Right. I mean, yeah, right. I mean, you know, because he said, you know, once a certain player got picked, then he was not thinking about that anymore. So, LaVisca Chenault was one of the guys. T. Higgins was one of the guys. Chase Claypool, Pittman. So once those guys were taken, they kind of backed off. So that's a great point, Eli, about the fact that he may just say, you know what, screw it. I'm going to move up to 21. I'm going to take my guy. I'm not going to worry about anybody else behind us, and we're just going to get it done. We're going to get that number 2 that we've been, you know, pining for. And the other thing to keep in mind, we mentioned this a couple times when we did the receivers, is the fact that we don't have anybody under contract after this year. And that's a huge deal. Mm-hmm. When you look at positions, is that every one of these guys, don't you think that Alan Lazard's going to want to raise after this year? I think he counts about $850 towards the cap. MVS is going to want to raise after this year. St. Brown, EQ, they're going to all want raises after this year, including Devontae. Devontae's going to want to raise. So how much money are you willing to dedicate to the wide receiver position that's going to be above and beyond what you're dedicating right now? Because all these guys, our contracts are up, and all of these guys are going to want raises. So if you can get a guy on a rookie deal, that might be ideal.
Not just a rookie deal, but a guy who, in my opinion, you know, if I'm taking a receiver in the first round, and the Packers haven't done it since 2002. I'm not sure if anybody's talked about that or not, but the last guy they did that with was Javon Walker.
Yeah.
My goal, if I'm the general manager, is to pick somebody that has upside as a wide receiver one. Now, there are exceptions that I would make to that. For example, with this team and the way that they're structured and the way that everything is lining up for them, a player like Kadarius Toney, who I don't think has wide receiver one upside, could make some sense as pick number 29. That being said, if you can get Rashad Bateman, to me, there are four receivers in this draft that could be wide receiver ones. Jamar Chase, Devontae Smith, actually really only three, because I'm not so sure about Jalen Waddle. As a wide receiver one. But so those two guys that I just mentioned, and then Rashad Bateman, I think that would be a really good addition to that. And I'm not shoving Devontae Adams out the door just because I went and got Rashad Bateman. I think
you
that
you extend Devontae as well, and you have potentially a year or two down the line, the best duo in the league is what you're hoping for.
Right. And that's with a aging Aaron Rodgers or a emerging, developing, starting Jordan Love. Either way, there's benefits to that type of move, regardless of who your quarterback is. It doesn't matter at that point. But, you know, I think that the Packers offense has a chance to. Now, I know I've said this before. The Packers didn't lose. They haven't lost a lot of playoff games in my lifetime because they didn't have enough weapons on offense. That being said, that doesn't mean that you can't go out and grab guys. I think we talked about this when we talked about the receivers, weeks ago, was that this receiving core is Devontae Adams, who's really, really good, and replacement-level talent. And that's not a bad thing. Those guys, MVS and Alan Lazard and those dudes, they fit this system very well, and they play specific roles. That's a good thing. I think that being said, you can always look to be more explosive. And that's where, you're seeing all kinds of smoke these days. And we'll get into some of this, how much we buy and all that kind of stuff. But, today it was Bateman. Yesterday it was Elijah Moore and Tony Pauline of Pro Football Network reporting they love Kadarius Toney. And I just think that the buzzword that I've heard surrounding the Packers all offseason is we want to be more explosive. And I think that, what that could be is what Ben Fennell's talked about quite a bit, is having one of those guys. Can you turn a 6-yard play into a 66-yard play? And the Packers don't, to Eli's point, have anybody on their team that can do that. So now, that's Bateman, and we'll talk about that. Yeah, go ahead, Rob. It seems like you're jumping at the bit here.
Oh, man. I want to talk about my dream.
That's what I was going to transition to. So go ahead.
I've been dreaming, man. So,
Zaven Collins. Okay, moving on.
It's actually not, man. It's I just think, we're at this point where I want to think, why did we lose that game against Tampa?
I
think about it all the time. This is a nightmare. But
listen, I was in the building, so I don't want to hear it from either one of you.
I died in the cold, so I don't know. I think I was worse off. At least you saw it. Well, I don't know. It's worse.
Well, no, I was in sunny Florida, and it was about 70 degrees.
Rob's a jerk, and I'm going to go ahead and mute him for the rest of the show. You guys don't have to worry about Rob any longer. You can follow him on Twitter at NFL Draft Reeks.
Yeah. So, it doesn't matter. I went right to bed after the game anyways. But anyways, Caleb Farley for me is my dream. It's almost a scenario where you're almost like you're stealing, taking candy from a baby type of thing. If he does drop, when you look at his tape, if you ask any person that watches film on a regular basis and they look at his tape, they see tantalizing skills out of this guy. He's huge. He's big for a corner, but he moves very smooth. And he's just a guy that could be a lockdown corner opposite Jair Alexander. So that after this year, when Kevin King's done with his one-year deal, he can go off to do something else, and we can plug him right in. He has an entire year where he can get back into shape. He's had back surgery, and that's obviously the medical on him. But if he gets back to normal or even close to normal, he would be that guy that you look back 3 years from now and says, wow, the Packers really got a steal with that guy. He was a top 10 talent, maybe even a top 8 talent, and they were able to get him at the end of round one, and he turned into a starter. And we won't even remember the fact that maybe he starts out his rookie year on the PUP or something like that, where he misses the first 6 games. as long as he contributes. And if we're going to match up with some of these teams, Tampa Bay just signed Antonio Brown yesterday, and you know they have him and they have Mike Evans and they have Godwin, and they have all these guys coming back.
You know, I really wish Tom Brady would just catch a break. Like, can that dude get anything to go that guy's way?
But it's just we need guys that are going to cover those receivers. And to me, if you can draft an elite talent late in round one, you take a chance on that and say, hey, look, it's a back surgery. People recover from those all the time. I had back surgery and I recovered from it and I'm fine now. So, you know, it's just, you know, and for a young, and I'm not a young guy and I just did it last year. So, you know, I'm just feeling them, you know, if he slips down to us, we just have to take it and run.
Yeah. That scenario reminds me very much of what's 5 years ago now when Miles Jack was sliding down the board for those medical purposes. And Green Bay obviously opted correctly, by the way, to take Kenny Clark. But at the time, I remember the mass hysterics that they didn't take Miles Jack and they took some defensive tackle, which that draft is like the first one where I realized it's a really good thing I'm not the general manager, because my pick would have been Noah Spence and he's out of the NFL. So there's
Jalen Smith in the same draft.
Jalen Smith is the perfect example.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting. Caleb Farley, I think he's had maybe the worst. Somebody, I can't remember who said this to me today. It might have been Jake Morley, said Farley's had the worst pre-draft process of anybody that hasn't gotten arrested that I can remember. So the poor guy's had injury issues, and then today he tests positive for COVID and just all kinds of different stuff going on.
I think his mom passed away too, didn't she, recently? Or I think that's the reason why he opted out, was to care for his mother who had cancer. And I believe, don't quote me on this, but I believe that he lost his mom in the last year too.
That could be. And, you know, I know there's a lot of stories like that, and that's why, you know, people opted out for various different reasons. But it looks like his mom died in January of 2018 after a lengthy battle with cancer. Not quite recently, but recently enough. That's pain that never goes away, right? That's morbid. So we're moving on from that. But my dream pick is something that the Packers have really, really needed, and they've looked at it for, I think, quite some time. And you go back to those games, and it's Kyle Trask, the quarterback. No, I'm kidding. But my dream that's never going to happen, so is J.C. Horn, the cornerback of South Carolina. But that's, I mean, this guy at this point, I have some pretty decent inkling that I could bet on him to be the first defensive player taken in the entire draft. That's something at this point that wouldn't surprise me. Over Surtain, over Micah Parsons, over all those guys. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying it wouldn't surprise me if it did happen. My pick is Greg Newsome. I'll take the corner out of Northwestern. You know, he's tall, he's long, he plays zone. He plays man-to-man coverage as well. He tested really well. And my good friend, Nick Scheib over at Game On Wisconsin said, a gentleman that tested that well from the University of Northwestern is not going to not be a Green Bay Packer. So that makes perfect sense to me. You know, you want to talk about me personally too. Like, I know there's some discussion about this, about the size of the corner. Do you want a bigger guy across from J.R. Alexander? And Newsom is a little bit bigger. Me personally, I don't care. I think that the Packers have one good cornerback and one like replacement level dude with Kevin King. But they need more good players. And if that means they draft three short dudes and they all kind of aren't able, and they're not able to match up with DK Metcalf, here's a newsflash, guys. Not a lot of people can match up with DK Metcalf.
You can ball, you can ball. Who it doesn't matter. Like, it's the same thing with the receivers. You know, I'm sick and tired of hearing about height or way that if you're good and it shows on tape, and it's not maybe just box score good or you got lucky good, but you watch the film and you're good. I don't care if you're an inch or two shorter than the next guy. I'm not going to overlook you because you don't meet that threshold. I mean, we've seen one specific example that popped in my head, Sam Shields. One time, Calvin Johnson, playing the Lions, Matthew Stafford essentially throws a jump ball to Calvin Johnson. Sam Shields is not a very tall, I don't even think he's 6 feet. And Sam Shields went up and intercepted, ripped it down from Calvin Johnson. And that's something I could see Jair doing. You know, I mean, it's just if you could ball, you can ball. So I'm not concerned about size.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. If you're in, you know, if you're in the receiver's hip pocket, then you're asking the quarterback to make a perfect throw. Another thing, Sam Shields broke up the pass to Dez Bryant in the playoff game. So,
yeah,
shout out to my friends that are Dallas Cowboys fans that are listening to this show. But that's my dream pick. Let's go the other direction. I think last year, maybe not all three of us would have said this, but you know, last year I think the nightmare scenario played out relatively well, and they drafted Jordan Love. Now, I will say this again, if Jordan Love is good 2 years from now and he's a starting franchise quarterback for the Packers, none of us will care. So I will say that right now too. I can also say that I know a couple years ago, Gutekunst took Rashawn Gary, and a lot of people would have said that was their nightmare scenario. It wasn't quite the nightmare scenario for me, but it wasn't too far off either at that point. But that being said, I'm going to ask, who is your guys' nightmare pick? And my answer to that question is any of the defensive linemen in the first round. I think that that position class stinks. The more you read about Christian Barmore, the more worried I am about investing a first round pick in a guy like that. Levi Onwuzurike, I think I'm pronouncing that name right, is the other guy who could be in consideration for an early pick. I think he didn't play last year, and I'm not all that wild about his tape to begin with. And, you know, the Packers, for all this talk about their inability to stop the run, their issues on defense last year towards the end of the year were not run defense related. They did not lose to Tampa Bay because they couldn't stop the run. I know there was that one run from Leonard Fournette. Shut up. I don't care. They didn't beat Tampa Bay because they couldn't take advantage of three turnovers. And two, they didn't stop Tom Brady and those receivers, and they didn't rush the passer well enough. So I think that Green Bay's issues, the run defense stuff, I know the narrative exists. I know that the 2019 NFC Championship game happened. I just don't care. Add three dudes on day three and add to your defensive line room that way. But I'm not touching Barrymore. I'm not touching Onwuzurike. I'm not touching Aleem McNeil. I'm not touching any of those defensive tackles. I think those are really the only three I've seen with any hype to get into the first round. But that is my nightmare scenario. Rob, what is yours?
So I had Christian Barmore written down for the same exact reasons. Now there's reports coming out that he was hard to coach, and that's one of the reasons why he didn't start until his last year. And he just has an attitude problem. So that goes on top of not elite film, other than maybe his last 2 to 3 games that he played in college. But when you look at his career, he barely even made an impact at Alabama. He's like a half a year starter for them. So that's who I had written down, but I have a backup, so don't worry about it. I'm
we
ready.
Can agree, by the way.
Okay.
That's okay.
I mean, so I'll go on record as that, but I'm gonna throw out another guy, and you guys will probably disagree with this. I'm just gonna preemptive strike this. But I have Rondale Moore as a nightmare scenario in round one. And there's a very specific reason for that, is he's had a lot of hamstring problems. Mm-hmm. And I'm a guy who, if you start having soft tissue injury, those are typically things, you know, when you break your arm or you have surgery and you come back, generally speaking, you're just as strong, if not stronger, than before. Even with ACLs these days, if you have an ACL surgery, the surgeons are so great with it that you can come back just as strong as you did before the injury. But it seems to me like if you're having chronic soft tissue injuries, those are things that last year, he had a hamstring 2 years ago and last year. Guy had a spectacular freshman year. People were thinking of him as, you know, the next big thing. He doesn't have good size. He's not a guy who, believe it or not, has a very big route tree. If you look at a lot of his film, he's doing a lot of just – like kind of dig routes. He does like a lot of receiver screens. He does a lot of, you know, where he just crosses over the formation. He's not a lot of his passes, you know, he's not running deep on passes. He's not very crisp with his route running. He's a great athlete, but I would look at him as more of an extreme gadget type of guy rather than a guy that would be a consistent contributor. So he's a guy that I just released my bust list today, and he's on it because I just don't think he's going to stay in the field long enough.
Yeah. And he's one of those dudes that I'm actually with you. That's one of those, like I usually say, when you're picking at the end of the first round, then pick, like, if you're going to trade to like 33 or something like that, just pick the dude and get the fifth year option. Like I would have rather had a fifth year option on Kevin King. Is not a great example, but a player, you know, similar to that, but you know what I mean? Where you have that ability to kind of control that player for an extra year like that. Moore is one of those guys though, that I agree with you. And I also think that, you know, when you got to kind of play that balance of when can I get someone like would I rather have Rondale Moore at pick 30 or would I rather, or 29, I keep doing that. Or would I rather have Amar Smith-Marset or Jalen Darden or Dwayne Eskridge, you know, on day two, day three kind of stuff. So you got to kind of play that, you know, side of the coin as well. Where can you find someone like that? Yeah. Eli, your nightmare pick. So, do not say quarterback, that will not count.
So to be honest, like you kind of alluded in the beginning, I mean, last year, I mean, in my opinion, at least, you know, we got our nightmare. And at this point, I don't see anyone as a straight up nightmare pick, but kind of like Jacob said, I don't believe any defensive tackle in this draft is worthy of a first round pick. So I would not be happy with that. And then I guess the only other position I would, you know, again, I wouldn't freak out maybe like I did with Love or be super pissed, just maybe just not excited or disappointed, is if they went with center for two reasons. Number one, I think they have a potential center on the roster in Lucas Patrick or other people, or even Elgton Jenkins if it comes to that. Or you can find centers. I think there are a couple of quality centers that you can get on day two or three. I don't think you need to go and get a center round one. Like if you're going to go offensive line, get a tackle, get the guy that's going to be opposite Bakhtiari for the next, you know, 5 to 10 years, whatever it's going to be. But I just don't see, like, if you're going to let Lindsley walk, and I get he got a big contract, we didn't have the money and all that, but center, it is a key position, there's no doubt. But when you're coming to drafting players, I just don't think drafting a center in the first round is as valuable as maybe getting a tackle or the other positions we've mentioned.
Good call.
Yeah, the center thing is odd to me. I feel like we do this all the time where, like, what was it? A couple years ago, people were mocking, like, Forrest Lamp to the Packers.
Yeah. By the way, I mean, I'm sorry, but just the name Forrest Lamp might be the greatest name ever, in my opinion.
I remember everybody loved him, and he kind of stinks. Like,
well, he got hurt. I remember he went to the Chargers, right? And then he tore his ACL. Yeah, he got all messed up. But I just wanted to draft him so I could yell, "I love Lamp," you know, from Anchorman.
They would have had to have run a tackle eligible play or something to get this guy a touchdown. And I know he plays guard. So before everybody on Twitter, not that they would ever correct me in my mentions, but yeah, I think the center thing is weird. I can't picture, like, I could picture Green Bay picking an offensive lineman that they think could be their starting center. So like Dylan Raidens is an example of somebody, but he plays tackle also. He played tackle in college. I could picture that being a pick where they're like, okay, he could play tackle maybe in a pinch, but he's going to start at center for us kind of thing. And like, he's repped at North Dakota State as a center. So that's not uncommon, but I can't picture them taking just quote unquote a center. The only offensive lineman they've done anything like that for is Corey Linsley. And that was, what, 7 years ago now? So quite some time ago.
He was, what, a fifth-round pick?
Exactly. You can find these quality guys later on. And, I mean, just one quick example. I did a mock that I really like, and I just want to see if I can. Yeah, right here. And I'm just trying to remember his name because I'm totally blanking. Yeah, Trey Hill out of Georgia.
Yeah.
Like, he's someone you can get probably on day three. And you know what? Maybe he won't be the next Corey Linsley, but he can learn from guys on that offensive line, learn from Jenkins, learn from Patrick, and eventually you groom him into being your starting center. Like, I just don't think that needs to be the first thing you do in the draft.
I agree.
Yeah, that's exactly what they did with Linsley. Was when Scott Wells left, and then Evan Dietrich Smith left, they had J.C. Tretter, and then they drafted Linsley, and they both kind of took turns that first year before Linsley took that job full time. So, you know, the question, it's again, kind of the Rondale Moore question, right? Would you rather draft Creed Humphrey or Landon Dickerson on day one when you can get a Drake Jackson on day three or a Quinn Miners on day two or somebody like that? You know, I think the Packers will have to weigh those options as well. And there's also still some veterans on the market if they do choose to go that route as well. Let's go. One of the games I like to play is, so players we'd move up for, players you're comfortable with at 29, and players that you would be comfortable with in a trade back scenario. So let's just pick, in the interest of time, let's pick two players at each of those slots. So obviously, if you trade up for the guy, you're comfortable with him at 29 and you're comfortable with him in a trade back scenario, that would just be fantastic. But to me, players I'd trade up for are guys we've already mentioned. Greg Newsome, the cornerback, is one. And then Rashad Bateman is the other one. I think that he's the one of three receivers with wide receiver one potential. I talked about all that stuff. Players I'm comfortable with at 29, Tevin Jenkins is one, the offensive tackle out of Oklahoma State. I love him. I think he's going to be a Tennessee Titan, but I think he is just mean and nasty. And I love the potential that he brings to that defense. And then Trevon Merrig, I've talked about him a bunch. I feel like I need to fit that one in there. Not somebody I would trade up for, even though I do really like him, but I would take him there. And then guys in a trade back scenario, I would take in a trade back Rondale Moore. I do think that possibility in a trade back where you add a few picks on day two is something that you can do. And then Alex Leatherwood, the offensive tackle out of Alabama. I think if you come out of this draft with Jenkins or Leatherwood, I think guard or tackle doesn't matter. That's a decade long starter that you have in the NFL. So I like all of those guys. So again, just to replay the rules, Rob, before I kick to you, two guys at each spot. So players you trade up for, players you're comfortable with at 29, players you'd be comfortable with in a trade back scenario.
Yeah. My guys that I trade up for, Trevon Merrig, you mentioned him. He'd be a guy that I feel would just be an instant impact player on our team. And you alluded to my affinity for this player earlier, but Zaven Collins would be a guy that I feel, you know, if the Packers do go into a lot of like 5-1-5 scenarios on their defensive front, that they could put Zaven Collins as the one in there, and he could just kind of clean things up. Those would be the two for the move up. Comfortable staying. Actually, I have Elijah Moore as a comfortable staying. I feel like if he does drop, which I don't think he will, but who knows? You know, anything can happen on draft day. But if he comes and he drops down to Green Bay, I think Elijah Moore would fit in really well with our offense. And I'm going to throw out a surprise pick because you mentioned Jenkins, who would have been my second guy. So, you know, it's good that we agree, but I want to throw out kind of a.
This is why I go first, so I don't have to think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I feel like we're on like Family Feud, you know, where you can't repeat the answer, and it's like the last person is like, it's like the cousin that like nobody talks, and it gets to them, and they're like, "What? You guys said all the good ones already." But anyways, I'm going to throw out Sam Cosmi as a guy that I would actually be comfortable taking. I know that there are some question marks about him, and I know that a lot of the Green Bay Packer fans probably wouldn't be too happy with that, but I see him as a guy that can be very versatile in our offense, that if we need him to kick over to the left side, he could do that. He could definitely be a starter on the right side, but he could also kick inside if we need him to. So when you look at position versatility, Sam Cosmi would be a guy who tested at the top, I believe it's like a 9.99 RAS score. Yeah. And he has some size to him as well. He played in a big program. He played a lot in a big program. So I know that the Green Bay Packer fans would not be happy with that. If we walk away with Sam Cosmi at pick 29, especially with some of the other guys that we talked to, but I just think a lot of the guys that we talked about so far, I don't think they're going to be there at 29, I guess. I did my one and only mock draft today. I'm going to be dropping it later on, but you know, I just think Bateman's going to be gone by 29. I think that Newsom's definitely going to be gone by 29. I think Tevin Jenkins is going to be gone by 29. So you kind of have to go into that next tier after that. And that's where I'm looking at Cosmi or possibly Elijah Moore. Now, as far as trade back goes, there's a player that I have my eye on, and we haven't, I don't believe, talked about him at all, but Javon Holland out of Oregon.
Oh, hell yeah.
he's a guy that I've had my eye on for a long time, and you see a guy who can cover in the slot, good receivers. You know, I was watching his tape on against USC, and he was covering their top receivers. He was man on man with them. He was flipping his hips. He was running with them the whole way. And he's also a guy that can drop back into that single high safety as well. So I would say if we can move back into the 30s, Javon Holland would be a guy that I would take a look at. And then a very popular Green Bay Packer pick would be Asante Samuel Jr. I don't know if I'd want him at 29, but if we can move back to maybe 36, 37, in that range and still pick up a guy like that, I think that he would be the second guy that I would really like to target in that place.
Okay, Eli, so you're out of names is what I've probably gathered, but yeah, feel free to jump in.
Yeah, now that everyone possibly is gone, I will take a chance at this. So players I would trade up for. So you know, first things first is, you know, everyone says this realistic, not realistic. Last year, similar to this year, there was a very clear consensus top three receivers, Judy, Lamb, Ruggs. In almost every mock draft we saw, they were gone by pick 12. I think the first one wasn't picked on pick till 12, and CeeDee Lamb didn't go till 17. So while I think it's a very long shot, I just think if one of those top three has a bit of a slip and gets into the late teens, it's possible. I'm not saying it's likely. Maybe if someone has, if teams have concerns about Devontae Smith's size, whatever it is, that could be something that would be interesting. And I would say the same for J.C. Horn. But those are the more unreal. Like, you'd have to trade up into the teens. But guys, I would trade up probably still in the 20s for and be very happy with. Obviously, Bateman, someone we talked about. I would take really any of the inside linebackers. Micah Parsons, Zaven Collins, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. Those are all guys I really like. And then, Jacob, I think you mentioned him. Greg Newsom, mm-hmm. is one I really like as well. Kind of reminds me of Jair Alexander. So those are guys I would trade up for. Guys I'm comfortable with at 29, like both you. I mean, I like Trevon Merrick there. I like Tevin Jenkins there. I don't know if he'll make it there, but I think Kadarius Toney could be there at 29, and he could be an interesting gadget player for them. And then looking at trading back, someone like Elijah Molden is someone I've been very high on out of Washington. I think he can play that, kind of like Merrick, basically play that star role somewhere as a hybrid in the defense. Eric Stokes, cornerback out of Georgia, is someone that they can maybe take a look at. And like Rob said, whether I would even go at 29, but a trade back would obviously be even better. But Asante Samuel Jr. is someone that I would like.
Where if they could have him. I would pick him at 29 as well. Asante Samuel is one of those guys that, and I wonder if Gutekunst was talking about him in his press conference on Monday when he was talking about some guys that, you know, they believe have elite talent and don't necessarily meet their thresholds, very similar to the way they obviously felt about Jair Alexander. Let's go through just a few questions and just have a little bit of fun with this. So there are three consensus, like top gadget guys, if you will, in the early portion, top 50, 60 of the draft for the Packers. Kadarius Toney, Elijah Moore, Rondale Moore. Eli, how many of those guys would you use pick 29 on?
I would use two on Moore or Toney.
I would there's two Moores, so you got to tell me which one.
Sorry. You said Elijah Moore, right? Yeah.
Okay. Elijah Moore, Kadarius Toney, Rondale Moore. Rob, I obviously know you won't take one on Rondale, but would you use any of the others?
You know, Elijah Moore for sure. I'm a little torn on Kadarius Toney. He'd be another guy that I'd probably want to trade back for, but I don't see him dropping too much because I think that someone's going to take a chance on that because, you know, I have him, I you know, in my mock that I just did today, I put him at 25 to Jacksonville, and actually both of them. I did one with trades and one without trades, and this is what I think is going to happen, not necessarily what I would do, but I thought that him, you know, with Trevor Lawrence and that matchup would be good. So, I mean, I guess if he's there at 29, I'd consider him, but Elijah Moore would be my top pick out of those three.
Yeah, I would pick Elijah over the other group. Like I said, I wouldn't take Rondale Moore in the first round. In a trade back, I would take him. Toney would be one of those guys that it'd be like one of those, like, is that the best use of a first round pick? Probably not. Am I going to care as soon as he touches the ball on a wide receiver screen and scores a 65-yard touchdown? Hell no. So is it the greatest use of a first round pick? Probably not. But kind of similar to the way I felt about the AJ Dillon pick. Was that the greatest use of a second round pick? Probably not. But when I watched him run through the Tennessee Titans, did I care anymore? Not really. So that was kind of my thought on that. I was talking about wide receiver ones earlier, and Rob, I know you did a bunch of stuff on receivers. So I said, I think there are three guys in this class with wide receiver one potential. And I'm talking like Devontae Adams, star level type potential. So Jamar Chase, Devontae Smith, and Rashad Bateman. Who do you think, is there anybody that you think that outside of those three guys that fits that wide receiver one? Are you bigger on Waddle than I am?
I do like Jalen Waddle, but I do think that he'd be better off in a wide receiver two scenario. He'd be a guy that can, you know, take the cover off the defense. And then, you know, he's not going to be a guy that's necessarily going to going to make those tough catches over the middle. He's more of a guy that's going to hit those bombs, you know, once, twice a game. But, I mean, you know, a guy like DeSean Jackson has made a long career by just, you know, and Will Fuller. Like, those are two guys that come to mind that they just take the cover off the defense. They draw safeties over. They take coverage away from other guys. So, you know, I guess not in the traditional sense of a wide receiver one. I don't see another guy. But, you know, that doesn't mean that they can't have a huge impact on the game, being able to go deep and use that speed. But Bateman would be more of a traditional guy for me. I don't really see another guy that could really, you know, just stand out and just, you know, be like a Davante Adams, for example. I'm going to maybe Marshall, but I'm not sold on him. I don't know what you guys think.
Rob, that was actually the one name I was going to say. If there was like a long shot pick of a guy in the, you know, end of the first, early second round people are talking about, that could be a one on his team, a true one. I think Marshall does have that potential. I don't think it's likely, but he was going to be the name I'd throw out there as well.
Yeah, he's somebody I alluded to this on one of our other episodes. I wouldn't draft him with a high pick, Marshall. That is, I just the opt out before Alabama really rubs me the wrong way. And now you're reading that stuff about, you know, some red flags medically, and just I personally, and not only that, like in this offense specifically, he doesn't block anybody. So usually I don't care about wide receiver blocking, but I know Matt LaFleur does. So that's going to matter to him. Let's put together the best fit of team need, value. Like, what is, in your guys' opinion, the perfect pick for this Packers team at 29 overall? Eli, I'll start with you.
The perfect pick for the Packers. I would probably go with someone like Trevon Merrig, honestly. Someone that can, I mean, yeah. I mean, I think that's where I would go. Just someone that can finally be like that roamer in the middle, whether it's him or Savage, but it gives them the flexibility to have Amos, Savage, and Merrig on the field at one time. And that could be dangerous, where you have that guy roaming the middle and then you have Amos and Savage deep, or flip it, however you want to do it. Those combined three, like, I think it hits need, and I think it will also have plenty of production on the field. Obviously, as I said, my dream pick might be Rashad Bateman, but when we're looking at what for this, like, I think they could get receivers that could contribute a lot, especially when your quarterback's Aaron Rodgers a little bit later. So looking at a guy like Merrig, who will fill a need that maybe isn't as deep in the class at safety, that area. So someone like him is, I think, could be a perfect fit.
That's a good pick. For me, it's Greg Newsome. He's kind of that versatile corner that I feel will step into a starting role, that can maybe accept that a slot corner role for 1 year and then move into that outside corner position. He seems to be a guy that can play man. He can play zone. He's a guy that will be an instant addition to our team that's going to make an impact. Not that I certainly don't disagree with the Merrig pick, because I love him as well, but I just think that Newsome, it's just, he's a clean prospect, and, you know, there's not a lot of red flags around him. He can pick up the defense. He's a smart kid, and he just has it all.
Yeah. The question on him, I guess, is medically, but if Green Bay is able to sign off on that, that's my answer, is Newsome. So last shot here of the night, let's go first. We're not going to have a chance to talk about this until next week. So we're going to do some predictions, and they're sure to go wrong. So that's perfectly okay. Rob, 29, 62, 92. Who are Green Bay's first three picks if Rob Reagor is the general manager?
Okie doke. Let me give me 1 second here. I have it in front of me, but I clicked off of it. So for me, first round, Tevin Jenkins is my ideal, is my realistic ideal pick. You know, it's taking into account that a lot of the guys that we've talked about before. Obviously, if I'm the GM of all these teams, I like these players, so I'm probably going to pick them. So, you know, in this scenario, Merrig's already gone, Bateman's gone, Elijah Moore's gone, Caleb Farley's gone, Newsom's gone. So, you know, for me as a GM, with the way that the board is you know, shakes up, I'm going with Tevin Jenkins at 29. And then at 62, I'm going to be looking at my man, Dwayne Eskridge. I couldn't help it. These guys that I study for sleepers, I always have to put them up there. So to play that slot receiver for us. And then at 92, I really like the cornerback from Michigan, Ambry Thomas. He's another guy that we haven't really talked about, but he was more or less an elite talent. He did opt out last year, and people kind of forgot about him. So he's been sliding down. So he's a guy that has a potential of developing into that at least three corner and maybe into that two corner position. So those are my three, Tevin Jenkins and Dwayne Eskridge and Ambry Thomas.
Eli?
Do I have to stick with their spots or could I include Trey?
No, you can move if you'd like. You just kind of have okay. to. You know, they're not going to move into the top 10. So,
yeah, no. I do believe they will trade up. And so I said it again, I put it on Twitter. I said it here. I just have this feeling. So I'm going to say they're going to go with Rashad Bateman in round one, which would definitely entail, I assume, a trade up to get up in there. And then in round two is where it gets interesting. I'm going back and forth. If they could get, I just don't know if Elijah Molden's going to fall to 62. But I would go with, Elijah Molden. To be a little more realistic, let's go with Ifeatu Melifonwu. I think he'll be there at 62, and he's someone I like. And then to address tackle, I think Jackson Carman is someone they could get in the third round and plug him in at tackle. So, yeah, I would go a trade up in the first to get Bateman. And then I would dream about getting Molden. I just don't think he'll fall to 62. So I'll go with Melifonwu and then Jackson Carman.
Okay. We haven't heard about Carman. Hold on.
No.
I love Jackson Carman. I think he's a fantastic player. That's a nice that's nice, Eli. I like it. You shocked me there. I wasn't expecting that, but I love it.
Yeah, I think if they could get him in the third round, I'd be very happy. Just a solid tackle.
Yeah, I'm with you. As far as making this predictive, in the interest of that, I guess I do think they're going to take Rashad Bateman tomorrow night. Just everything I've read, everything I've heard, everything that's just gone into it, it seems like, and last year, the same sort of steam started to pick up for Jordan Love. And I think all of us just kind of dismissed it as like, yeah, right. They're not actually going to do that. And then they did. And I think that same sort of smoke is happening for Rashad Bateman. I think if you look at the way Gutekunst drafts, he drafts for the future. And it's not necessarily what's needed right now. Well, we just mentioned the Packers don't have any receivers under contract beyond 2021. So I think that's the move they're going to go with. I think they take Rashad Bateman in the first round. I'm going to go with Quinn Meinerz in the second round, which will probably make my good friend and my father, Owen Reese, very happy. The center from Wisconsin Whitewater. I think he can play guard or center for them pretty much right away. And then I'm going to run with Milton Williams, the defensive tackle. A third round defensive tackle just feels like something the Packers do every so often, and he's never good. So hopefully Kyrie Thornton.
Kyrie Thornton.
It was not great. So that's the route I'm going to go as far as a predictive measure. If I was in charge, it might look a little bit different. But I can say this. I tweeted this today. I cannot wait for the Packers to draft two receivers in the first three rounds this year. So watch them go like Bateman on Thursday and then Eskridge or Diami Brown or somebody like that on Friday. And then the narrative when they lose in the playoffs is going to shift from Rodgers doesn't have enough help to the defense sucks. So I can't wait for that personally. Just watching.
I'm sure PFT will find some way to spin it however they need. So
good for you, Mr. Mike Florio. So we're out of time. It is Thursday. It's draft day. So once you're done listening to this, go sit down, crack open a beer, and enjoy the draft. Check out everything we've got on Twitter tonight. You can find myself, I'm at Jacob Westendorf, and you can check out on Game On Wisconsin, the live draft watch party. We'll be joined by Packers tight end Josiah DeGuara at the very beginning, hosted by Dan Kotnick, Jimmy Christensen, and Todd Varney going from there. And a wide variety of guests will be available Friday night as well. So looking forward to that. Rob's going to jump in on Friday, and I'm trying to figure out if Eli is going to jump in or not, but we've got an open invitation.
All right. Well, I think my best shot of jumping in would be Thursday. Friday and Saturday, I don't know what I'll be doing. But yeah, if I could jump in Thursday night, I'd be down for that. I didn't realize we were having a party, but yeah, I'm always down for parties.
So we'll have that available. We'll have that virtual safe, all that good stuff. So jump on in, ask your questions. Let's watch the draft together tomorrow night. You can find Rob.
NFL at NFL Draft Reeks, and I dropped a little bit of stuff earlier, and I got a bunch more stuff. So I'm going to do my one and only mock draft with trades, without trades, and my sleeper bust list, I believe I posted earlier today. So stay tuned for that.
And then Eli, of course.
You can find me at Book of Eli _ NFL. And like Rob, yeah, I'll be releasing my final mock either tonight or tomorrow, depending on how many times I end up trying to change it because I can't make my mind up on anything, but I'll still give it a shot. And yeah, go Pack, go. Let's hope for a good draft, and I'm excited.
One last plug just before I kick it over to you, Jacob. And, if you guys aren't listening already, 97.3 The Game. I've been on every day this week hyping up the draft with the Drew and KB show. They've been fortunate enough to have me for 5 years now. This is our fifth year anniversary. So 97.3 The Game draft coverage will continue tomorrow and today.
So I'm excited for all of that. Obviously, a lot of great content, a lot of great places to find it. Be sure to check all of that stuff out. And you guys will have a recap right here on the Pack a Day podcast tomorrow morning. So be sure to jump in for that. But until then, we'll be signing off. Thank you guys for listening each and every week. We look forward to being back next week talking about the Packers drafting 7 to 10 future Hall of Famers. And I personally cannot wait. So it's finally draft day. It feels like Christmas, and I am incredibly excited for that. So thank you everybody for listening, and go Pack, go.